Good morning. We would like to invite you to come and be with us for a series of lessons beginning this morning at 9:30. Bill Craddock from Canton will be our speaker. This morning, during our Bible hour, he will be speaking on what is man and why does he need saved. Then at 10:30, his subject will be Why I Want to Go to Heaven. This evening at 6:30, the lesson is titled Faith Without Works is Dead. Then on Monday through Thursday at 7 o'clock each evening, Monday, the topic will be lack of spiritual growth. Then on Tuesday, not willing to forgive. Wednesday, a lack of repentance. And on Thursday, saved by grace through faith. We hope that you will come and be our guest. Today, we'd like to speak on the idea of things that we can know. We live in a skeptical age, an age of questioning, a postmodern age. Is it possible for us to know anything? Can we be certain? To affirm a proposition these days will surely bring a change of dogmatism. Some contend that nothing is certain, absolute, that truth is relative. What may be truth for one may not be truth for another. Some are so certain that nothing is certain that it makes one wonder how they can be so certain. In this lesson, we would set forth in a positive way the fact that we can know certain things. We can know that God is. We can know the Bible is inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of God. We can understand the Bible and know that we understand it. We can also know that we are saved. We can know that God is. For centuries, philosophers and theologians have debated the existence of God. Various arguments have been advanced by both theists and atheists, and probably no issue has occasioned more intricate intellectual discussion than this. The most important of all human intellectual discussions, the existence of God. The term theist is a broad term referring to those who believe in God. However, the fact that one believes in God is not a guarantee that he believes in the God of the Bible. The term atheist is also a broad term, which refers generally to those who deny the existence of God. An agnostic is one who withholds belief because he does not know and is unwilling to accept as proof the evidence of God's existence. The evidence is found both inside and outside the Bible. However, we're not concerned in this lesson with examining the evidence, but with establishing the point that knowledge of God's existence is possible. Romans 1:18-21 reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifested in them. For God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse, because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither give thanks, but become vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened." Notice verse 19, that which is known of God. That which is capable of being known. It is obvious that for anything to be known about God, it must first be known that God exists. How is God known? Verse 20, through the things that are made. Through the things that are made, we may logically and truthfully reason to certain facts about God. These facts are then a matter of knowledge. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth his speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language. Their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. There is sufficient evidence in the natural world for a valid deduction of the existence of God. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of the things which do appear. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Among other things, this passage teaches us that God created the world out of nothing. He spoke the world into existence. He did not take existing matter and make something else with it. But especially we want to notice that the creation itself points to the Creator. If we have a watch, we know that there is a watchmaker. Some would object by saying that faith eliminates the possibility of knowledge, that we only believe that God is. But faith and knowledge are not mutually exclusive. The Bible teaches that we both believe and know many things. For example, in 1 Timothy 4:1-5, Paul speaks of the errors that would come in the latter times. forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. Believe, or faith, is based upon evidence. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." While we were not present in the beginning and did not see, with the physical eye, the creation of the world, the evidence in nature and the testimony of the Scriptures give us the necessary information or knowledge upon which to base our faith. Thus we understand, perceive with a reflective intelligence, that is, according to Vine Word Studies, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. This is a matter of knowledge, not mere assumption. Thus Paul teaches in Romans 1:18 through 21, that man may know the existence of God through the observation of and valid reasoning concerning the things in nature. Man is without excuse for rejecting the existence of God, for sufficient evidence is constantly before him. We also can know that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of God. First, to be the Word of God, the Bible must be inspired, inerrant, and authoritative. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. By this we mean that those who wrote, as human instruments, wrote as God breathed into them His message. Thus Paul affirms, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness," 2 Timothy 3:16. The phrase, "inspiration of God," is literally "breathed of God," or "God breathed." To hold that the Bible is the Word of God, but that it contains errors, is to accuse God of lying. But God does not lie, ever, Titus 1, verse 2. Since the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, it follows that it, and it alone, must be our authority for all that we practice in religion. Thus Peter would charge every man, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." 1 Peter 4, verse 11. The evidence is sufficient to bring one to the fact that the Bible is God's Word. The Bible is here. No one doubts its existence. But how can we account for it? The Bible is beyond the reach of human authorship. He would not have written it if he could. It condemns too many things which men by nature hold dear. The only conclusion that can be reasonably made is that it is indeed God's inspired Word. Furthermore, we can understand the Bible. If we could not understand the Bible, then it is not even a revelation to man. If no man can understand the Bible and know that he understands it, it is of no value whatever. The agnostics claim that it is arrogant to claim to know truth. In contrast, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. In self-contradiction, the agnostic claimed to know that no one knows that any proposition of religion are true. May we ask, how do they know? If God has given us a message that is unintelligible, wherein lies its value? And the common people heard him gladly. Mark 12:37. God expects us to learn from what has been written. For whatsoever things are written before time are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4. Notice Romans 10:17. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is based upon understanding the Bible. There is no other way faith can come. Paul plainly states, "Whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ." Ephesians 3, verse 4. That is exactly what a revelation is, the unveiling of a mystery, understanding what was not before known. Listen again to Paul when he says, "Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians 5:17. Those who do not understand are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. Ephesians 4:18. Furthermore, this understanding produces a common faith and a common obedience. Paul sent Timothy to teach the same things he taught. "For this cause I've sent you, Timothy, who's my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church." 1 Corinthians 4:17. Note that Paul taught the same thing in every church. Peter wrote, "To them that have obtained a like precious faith with us," 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Unless common understanding is possible, how can men possess a like precious faith? Jude wrote, Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, Jude 3. If the Bible's not understandable to all alike, how can it be a common salvation? Jesus clearly stated that our salvation is based upon understanding and obeying His word. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken to you shall judge you in the last day. John 12:48. Friends, let us recognize that we must understand alike and hold the pattern of sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13. Let us say with Paul, "Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." 1 Corinthians 1:10. At the same time, may we admonish those who are otherwise minded. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Then finally we can know that we're saved. There are those, even Christians, who say, "Well, who knows if we're saved or not?" To declare that we know would seem arrogant and proud. But the Apostle John said, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." 1 John 5:13. Yes, we can know that we're saved. We will not be judged by men's theories, his feelings, or ideas, but by the Word of God. In Romans 6:17-18, "But thanks be to God, that whereas you were the servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." These Christians could be sure that they were free from sin. How? What had they done? What did God do? On the divine side, God gave His Son, Romans 5:8-11. On the human side, man must hear, Romans 10:17. He must believe, John 8:24. Repent, Acts 17:30. Confess, Romans 10:10. And be baptized, Acts 2:38. Yes, Paul declared that when we are baptized, we obey that form of teaching. Have you obeyed from your heart the teaching of these scriptures? We can know that God is and that the Bible is His Word. Furthermore, we can understand it. And we can know what to do in order to be saved and, having obeyed His commandments, have an assurance of everlasting life and salvation. Friends, if we can help you in any way, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.